Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 8th canto, chapter 3, text number 7. Let's see. Didrikshavo yasya padam sumangalam vimukta sangha munaya susadava charanti aloka Vratam Avranam Vane Bhutatma Bhutaha Surida Sa Me Gati Didrikshavo Yasya Padam Samangalam Vimukta Sangha Munaya Sasadava Charanti Aloka Vratam Avranam Vane Bhutatma Bhutaha Surida Samegati Dudrikshavo Yasya Padam Sumangalam Vimukta Sangha Munayo Sasadava Charanti Aloka Vratam Arvranam Vane Bhutatma Bhutaha Saurida Samegati Dudrikshavo Yasya Padam Sumangalam Vimukta Sangha Munaya Sasadava Charanti Aloka Vratam Avranam Vane Bhutatma Bhutaha Surida Samegati. Vaishnavis. Didrikshavaha. Those who desire to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya, of Him. Padam, the lotus feet. Sumangalam, all auspicious. Vimukta Sangha, persons who are completely disinfected of material conditions. Munaya, great sages. Susadava, those who are highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Charanti, practice. Aloka Vratam, vows of brahmacharya. Vanaprastha or sannyas. Avranam, without any fault. Vane, in the forest. Bhuta Atma Bhutaha, those who are equal to all living entities. Suridaha, those who are friends to everyone. Saha, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Me, my. Gati, destination. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Please repeat. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Purport. This verse describes the qualifications for devotees or persons highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devotees are always equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Pandita Sama Darshinaha, Bhagavad Gita 5:18. They look upon everyone as a spirit soul who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of everyone, Suidam Sarva Bhutanam, Bhagavad Gita 5:29. They act as friends of everyone on behalf of the Supreme Lord, making no distinction between one nation and another, or one community and another. They preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita everywhere. Thus, they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Such preachers in Krishna consciousness are called Paramahamsas, as indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha. They have nothing to do with material conditions. One must take shelter of such a devotee in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmanitam Yena Tasmaya Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Monobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutave Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kopa tubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the verse again. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. So we just heard from the previous verses the nature of Krishna on one of the classes that Bhrigupati gave. He's described as parat para, that he is transcendental to transcendental. In other words, he's transcendental to everything. Right? And then in the next verse after that is described as his above darkness. He's the only thing that exists. He's above everything. He shines when everything else is destroyed or in darkness. And then in yesterday's verse, he was described as Nayasya Devaha Visaya Padam Vidu Jantu Puna Ka Ahiti Gantum or Irutum. So neither the demigods, the sages, or unintelligent can understand the features of the Supreme Lord, nor can they even express in words what his actual position is. So this is the nature of Krishna. So there's another, there's a really nice quote I found. Let me go there. This is from the Kena Upanishad. Prabhupada quotes the Kena Upanishad. It's a very nice Upanishad, which actually is all about questioning, the proper questions. Everyone is asking questions, everyone's giving answers. Even the birds and the bees and everything. As soon as the morning comes up, we hear the chirping of the birds. They're all asking questions. But what are the ultimate questions? This is what we're trying to find. So this is what this Kena Upanishad is all about. Asking who we are, why are we here, what's the purpose of life, who's God, why, who. It's mostly like why and who. So here's one verse from that Kena Upanishad. Natatra chakshur, the eyes do not go there. Gachati na vag, the speech does not go there. Gachati no mana, the mind can't go there. Na vidmo na vijanimo, we don't even understand how anyone might even be able to teach it or explain it to us or find the process. Yata anusishat, anyad eva viditad, ato aviridad adi, iti sushruma purisham, yenas tad vichaksakshire. So this is a translation. The eye does not go there, nor does speech go there, nor the mind. We know it not. We do not understand how anyone might teach us about it. It is different from the known, and is even more different from the unknown. Thus we have heard from teachers in the ancient tradition who explain this to us. So this is explaining how can you understand the unknown with when your mind, your senses, nothing can go there. And then there's another verse here in the same Upanishad. It says here, well, first of all, this is referring to trying to understand something with the limited perception and the limited mind. How can we understand these things? So if you have your own opinions about things, then you'll never get anywhere. Because if you're just basing whatever you understand on your own opinions, on your own perception, then that's your false ego thinking that you know everything. And who had the biggest false ego? We see the biggest demon in history is Hiranyakashipu. And he had the biggest ego, and he was very powerful. His senses and his mind encompassed the entire universe. So in other words, he was able to grasp the entire universe within his mind and his senses. That's how powerful he was. But yet he himself could not understand what was beyond his limited sense perception of this universe. In fact, there's a famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years old, in front of this very powerful demon, his father, fearlessly telling him, "You can't understand these things with your own mind and your senses because you are not interested in Krishna," he's telling him. "Because you're false ego, because you think that whatever you perceive by your unbridled senses, that you can perceive things." So he's explaining to his father that you cannot understand. No matter if you try to do it by your own mind, if you try to get discuss with somebody else, you know, or you try to get somehow or another, because whatever you hear, you're going to interpret it in your own opinion because you think you know everything. So in that way, Krishna will not appear in your intelligence. So here we're seeing all the disqualifications that we have to try to understand Krishna. And then to that one verse in the Keno Upanishad, it says, "Yashatam tashyamatam matam yashana veda saha." But he who is of the opinion that he does not know, knows. He who is of the opinion that he knows, does not know. So in other words, that we have to get the opinion of people that know. Right? If you don't know, how can you know anything? So this is where we come to today's verse. What is the qualification to see Krishna? And this is what Prabhupada, in the one verse, it says, Vimukta Sangha. Two parts. Vimukta, he's free from material contamination. And Sangha, he's always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the qualifications. And Prabhupada describes it in the purport very nicely, how he says, as indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha, they have nothing to do with material conditions, and one must take shelter of such a devotee in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada called them Paramahamsas because they are, what are they doing? They don't see distinction between one person and another. They see the spirit soul in everything. That's like the Paramahamsa can discriminate, and he can actually drink a mixture of milk and water, but only drink the milk. This is a Paramahamsa. He can only see the spirit in everything. He doesn't just see the material things that the senses perceive. Everything that we see and perceive with these material senses, they're material. They're actually limited. But all these things that we do perceive, they do have a source. And that source is a person. So there's someone behind everything that we perceive. But yet you can't perceive him with your senses. You can't see him with your own opinions and your study or your inquiry unless you approach these people, Paramahamsas, unless you approach the Vimukta Sanghas. And this is the mercy of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada says that these devotees, they make no distinction between one nation and another nation, one community and another community. So this is people that are self-realized, they're Paramahamsas, they're saintly persons, people that we should emulate, people that we should take as our heroes, as our idols. I was just talking with a devotee that was here from the Ukraine. What's his name? Kashiraj Prabhu. And he was telling me how in Russia and Ukraine there's a war now almost about to start. And he said that he heard from the person that's in charge of Russia now, he has Lenin as his guide, his hero, as his mentor. So here it is, the same thing, chewing the chewed. What happened to Lenin? He's gone now. And he's thinking that my chewing is going to be better than Lenin, so therefore I can, he's my hero, I'm going to follow in his footsteps. And what's going to happen to him? He's going to be finished. False ego, ignorance. And these are the type of people Prabhupada describes in the light of the Bhagavad. They're just fools, old fools, trying to be attached to their positions, thinking that they will be happy. And there's another person, I guess, also in Ukraine, was how they are so greedy for material things. They think whatever I acquire, whatever I see, these things are real. So whatever I can gain and gather, this makes me important. This makes me God. Actually, this is the whole, what happens to mental speculators and philosophers when they just have their limited perceptions. They ultimately think that nothing exists except what's in my mind, or everything that exists is just a mental imagination. It's mental because I think it, therefore it is. Or they actually think that I am God and everything is here is because of me. So this person in Ukraine I guess he ran away and they found he had this huge mansion and it was filled with just thousands of artifacts and famous old paintings and, calculators like worth $50 billion worth of stuff he just accumulated that he stole and it just kept there, thinking that this is the purpose of life. This is, the answer to all the questions. This is who I am. I'm the controller, I'm the seer. But yet we see the greatest demon of all time is Hiranyakashipu. Look at all the things he gathered. Practically the entire universe in the grasp of his hands. And yet, what happened to him? Yeah, he was killed. You just die. That's it. This is what happens. So we have to take advantage. It's not that, there's another nice verse from the Mundaka Upanishad, Prabhupada quotes. In the seventh canto, one cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. So this is the whole mental process. They come out and they kind of analyze things. They come and they say, they wonder about, I wonder how this has happened. So they speculate. And then they begin to creatively think how, maybe it could be like this. So we created it, try to understand how things work. And then they get some critical thinking and they begin to like criticize the things that the hypotheses that they have come up with. And they try to come up with the best. So they say that the result of this kind of thinking is that ultimately they think that they are God. Or ultimately they think that nothing, the only thing that exists is whatever they perceive in their mind. It only exists because they can perceive it. And if they, because of human perception, these things exist. So you eliminate the human factor and then nothing exists. So this is a type of madness that they come to. And these are very, very prestigious scientists. This is the result of their thinking, what it ends up in. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj told his father in that famous verse. Matirna Krishne Patara Svatova Mati mito bipadyate griha vratanam adanta gopir visantam tamishram puna puna charvita charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts or by a combination of both. So this is the epitome of this materialistic way of having our own egoistic opinions about how everything should be utilized or what should be done. So this is Prahlada Maharaj's five-year-old boy tells his father like this without any fear, saying, because you cannot see Krishna, Matirna Krishne, you will not see him because of your uncontrolled senses. And because you're already chewing, which has already been chewed. And you will never understand because everything, even if you're told by the instructions of others, by your own efforts, or the combination of both, this will still be, you will analyze them according to your own opinion. And therefore, Matir na Krishne, you will not be able to see Krishna. So this is what we have, is this perception that's called the pratyaksha, perception, is that we think that whatever we see with the senses is real. But then when you go beyond that, Prabhupada quotes here, this says, where the senses fail to find the beginning, the mind takes over, for the mind is superior. Indriyebhya param mana, as the Bhagavad Gita states, the mind's attempt to know what is beyond the reach of sense perception is called Anumana. So that's what we have, is pratyaksha and anumana. These are the two ways that we think we can understand everything. But this is actually not enough. By your own thinking, by your own sense perception, and by your own mind, you cannot understand everything. So you have to get information from outside these things. And this is why we take advantage of the Paramahamsas. So there's some nice quotes here I'd like to just end with. Srila Prabhupada confirms all this here. There's a nice quote from the Padma Purana. My dear Narada, actually I do not reside in my abode, Vaikuntha, nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis, but I reside in that place where my devotees chant my holy name and discuss my forms, pastimes, and qualities. And then he also goes on and says, in the Mundaka Upanishad, it's stated, he who knows the Lord becomes free from lamentation and sins. And then it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that anyone who renders service to the Lord with his body and mind is able to see these pastimes of the Lord. Actually, this is the whole purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement, the whole goal, Prabhupada says. He just summarizes everything so beautifully and so simply. He says that the whole purpose, the whole goal of Krishna consciousness is to see how Krishna is enjoying. It's like these paintings, you see them, but then they come to life and you enter into that pastime. So this Kosala goes on here. If one is infested with material conceptions, he cannot understand the topics of the Lord's pastimes. See, he's infested with material conceptions. He cannot understand the topics of the Lord's pastimes. But persons who are indifferent to external vision and devoid of material conceptions can see the Lord's pastimes. So this is the Paramahamsa. He's indifferent to material contamination. He doesn't have a material conception. And then there's another quote in the Srimad Bhagavatam from the second canto. But anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. And then there's another quote, Prabhupada. This is all from like a purport of Srila Prabhupada, quoting so many nice Upanishads. Here's another one from the Katha Upanishad. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, or even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person, he manifests his own form. So this just explains Krishna here. It's a nice couple more quotes. This is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. My dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. So just see, we can actually taste that which is beyond the senses and the mind. Because we're not these material senses and minds. They're machines. And to be attached to a machine and forget the person in there, that is completely insane. And then here again it says about Krishna. Let's see here. He alone who is never afraid, but who, on the contrary, gives complete shelter to all fearful persons, can actually become a husband and protector. Therefore, my Lord, you are the only husband, and no one else can claim this position. If you were not the only husband, you would be afraid of others. Therefore, persons learned in all Vedic literature accept only your lordship as everyone's master, and they think no one else a better husband and protector than you. So that's from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just see, this is how Prahlad Maharaj says, this Griha Medhi. He had this Griha Vrata. Hiranyakashipu had this vow to be a Griha. Not that it means like you were, because you're a householder, you can't understand Krishna, but it means that you're attached to this body and its senses. So this is the Griha Medhi mentality. It's just like you're in a house, you're protected by the walls and everything. So in the same way, we think that this body is our protection. That we're, whatever we perceive and how we understand things, is you're taking shelter of your own mind and your senses, which is fallible. But here we're explaining that we have to take shelter of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. And how do we do that? By taking shelter of those who have taken shelter of Krishna, the Paramahamsas, the Vimukta Sanghas, those who are free from all this material contamination, material attachments, and those who are constantly in touch with Krishna. So I'll end here, and if there's any comments or discussion. Yes, Acharya Narottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You were mentioned the the characteristics of the Paramahamsa. I'm wondering if the title Paramahamsa, it can be used only for Vaishnavas, or it can be used for Mayavadis, impersonalists. So.
It's mostly Mayavadis, but there's one pastime where Prabhupada used Paramahamsas as he was telling, was it Shama? No, it was this devotee named Paramahamsa. And it was, there's another devotee I was just visiting here, Prabhupada disciple. I forget. So he's talking about how in his youth, there was all these saintly people that would come and visit his father. They would be on the banks of the Ganges, and and he called them all Paramahamsas. He said, and sometimes these Paramahamsas, they would actually, you know, smoke Ganga to help them become peaceful.
So what I want to know is this appropriate to call Mayavadi or impersonalist Paramahamsa? Like,
no.
For example, Paramahamsa Yogananda and Paramahamsa. So no. Is that correct? Or Paramahamsa is only for Vaishnavas?
Only for Vaishnavas. But anyway, it just reminded me of this pastime. And the reason why Prabhupada was saying that, because, you know, he knew Paramahamsa, who was the sannyasi, and he was saying how that, you know, these Paramahamsas would do that. So they were like, wow, really? You know, they were doing this. And then Prabhupada says, some Paramahamsas, but not Paramahamsa Swami, not you, you know. So he's referring, it was a joke Prabhupada was telling them, and Prabhupada just laughing and slapping his hand on his knee. Because they were, before that, they were both laughing and joke, you know, they would see each other, these two devotees, and they would just laugh, because they were such friends. They just look at each other and they start laughing, and Prabhupada said, "What's so funny?" And then they said, "Well, Prabhupada, just whenever I see him, I just laugh, I don't know." So then Prabhupada got real serious. Then Prabhupada told this very serious story about Paramahamsas and stuff. And then Prabhupada got back at them, you know. They were like, "Wow, what does Prabhupada say?" And then he laughs and he's cracking a joke. But no, Paramahamsas only referred to Vaishnavas, not these my bodies and people like that. Because what do they think? That everything is one. And it's not proper. So any other questions, comments? Yes? Prema Sankirtan. Prabhu.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that attaining repeated births amongst the species of demoniac life, as son of Kunti, such person can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. So what will happen with them? Krishna said they will never approach me, so they don't have chance, you know, to ever come back to Krishna.
That's true, that's what Prahlad Maharaj says about Hiranyakashipu. But because he was related to a saintly son, he had a saintly son, he was saved. So as Prabhupada mentioned in our purport today, that the devotees, they see equally, and if you gave that person a book, if you somehow or another got in contact with those persons, then they can be turned around, they can be saved. That's the mercy of the devotees, the Paramahamsas. Any other comments, questions? Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. What would you show me? I'm not sure exactly what you mean.